Hello, everyone. Welcome to Politics and Science. I'm your host, John Barkhausen. Is Dr. Natalia Mironova, perhaps. She worked in the anti-nuclear movement in Russia and originally worked in the nuclear power industry and then turned against it after the disaster of Chernobyl. The following show presents the viewpoints of its participants and does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of any other person or organization.
Hello. Hi, Jen.
Hi. Dr. Natalia Mironova? Is that how you say it?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. So I'd like to know how you got involved in the issue of Chernobyl.
When Chernobyl happened, I was an engineer. I worked in a scientific institution. And before Chernobyl, 3 years before Chernobyl, I was on the other nuclear power station, South Ukrainian power station, because I was an energy engineer. And I remember talks between two women in the bus. They discussed how many men who is working on the South Ukrainian power station start to die in the middle of his life, in the middle of age. Mm. So, and it was hooked in my mind. So I start to look more carefully about what is nuclear power station. When I was very young, I go to study to Novosibirsk University, and my dream was became a nuclear scientist. But at last I became only energy engineer and looked not nuclear part of atomic power station.
I see. So you were a nuclear engineer?
My dream was to be a nuclear engineer.
I see. So you were pro-nuclear. You thought it was a good idea.
Singing.
What was? Excuse me.
I didn't understand your question. Say again.
Please. Oh, say again. Yeah, sorry. So you thought nuclear power was a positive thing, a good idea.
This was a part of Russian propaganda, because in the 60s we have a very strong movie with very famous actors about how they sacrifice his life for nuclear development. And it was so tragic story, and they break in heart, and a lot of young people would like to look like the scientists, particularly the people, who was interested in science research. So I was interested about this. So this was like I was emotionally awoke for this way.
I see. So you wanted to do your service for your country and do a good thing, so you went into engineering, nuclear engineering.
Yes, this was the main message of this film. But then when Chernobyl was happened, and we learn a lot about how the people went to the march in the time when nuclear particle was in the air, and my colleague I'm working with has kids who was hired by Chernobyl nuclear power station. And it was two line of behavior with two family. One young man was left immediately, and the second stay on the Chernobyl nuclear power station. And this is was and they talk told me both case about the awareness, and so this is also I put in my mind. And then 3 hours later it was idea to start nuclear power station in Chelyabinsk region. And I learned about economical and it was discussion about plutonium nuclear power station.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately do analysis about economical costs, environmental costs, and so on. And it was time of perestroika and openness, step by step coming. And so I publish article about economical disaster coming with this nuclear power station, and my article have a very good response and price discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And then next year it was election and new perestroika coming, democracy coming, and
mm-hmm.
I was immediately involved in all this process, became was elected as a parliament in the local parliament, and then I was invited to organize a special committee for radioactive protection of local population. It was unprecedented in Russia, because it is subject of federal level, and we organize some kind of management of situation or local governance of the situation on the local level. Since that, I learn more about suffered people, and we start to open information, and only after we put on the list 86,000 suffered people.
Suffering, did you say?
Suffering people,
yes.
86,000. It is like initiative. We organized registration these people through our region, because I became a head of this committee for nuclear protection of population. And only after that, Ministry of Atomic Power opened its archive.
Archive, yeah.
Start to talk about evacuation and nuclear effect and so on. And then we organized this big conference, which was visited not only foreigner, but the most important, that was all scientific chapters of MAYAK facility was involved in this conference, medical chapter, hydrological chapter,
mm-hmm.
Environmental chapter, technical chapter. So it was very wide discussion about existence of the nuclear military complex and the relationship with environment, with social environment, political environment, and human beings. And it was huge amount of information which where I am. And so I organized movement for nuclear safety, I am founder, and it is still
mm-hmm.
a president.
So do you think, as a nuclear engineer, do you think nuclear power still has a place in our society?
Say again?
Do you think nuclear power is safe if it's done correctly?
No, it is not correctly. I think that nuclear power is unsafe. And we have if we compare two last accidents, Chernobyl and Fukushima, the instability of a reactor and supply system. We cannot take apart all system of nuclear power station. It is reactor, it is infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it is no matter where will trigger. But then internal instability of reactor. In Chernobyl, reactor move. This is was like a tie of situations, and the reactor go on to the zone of instability.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same happened in Fukushima. It is tie of different cases of different reasons, and the reactor moved to unstable zone, and then catastrophe start to develop, mm-hmm. developing, and we see what has happened. So nuclear releases, health effect, all supply system down, financial system down, shut down, health protection system shut down, transportation system shut down, and so on. I ask myself why we did not saw this social catastrophe in Russia after Chernobyl. And then I understand that Chernobyl provoked USSR destruction. It was also, the mm-hmm. USSR shut down. And under these big changes, the changes of the system which Chernobyl provoked was, little in the cloud. But we have the same destructive picture of what we see now in Japan.
That's very interesting that you say that Chernobyl provoked the fact that the USSR dissolved or fell apart.
Yeah.
Because
it is not only my opinion. I met a lot of the same vision from the nuclear scientists who analyze Chernobyl catastrophe.
Hmm.
Say again?
It would certainly cause people to question their government.
Yes, yeah, and yeah.
Now, in this country, we hear that Chernobyl-type accident is not possible because our reactors are much better than Russia's reactors.
As I say, it does not depend from the quality of reactor, because it is you cannot take system apart, because it is system, and system cannot be understand taken apart.
Mm.
So, and we need to show all reasons, because no matter which atom will be suffered, people, peaceful or military,
mm-hmm.
the atom is atom. You have, for example, now we are very close to Vermont Yankee reactor.
Yes.
It is the same type reactor what is in Fukushima. We have in all countries very bad practice, lifetime extension. So as engineer, I know that if equipment was designed for 25 years, this equipment, after 25 years, need to be dismantled and decommissioned.
Decommissioned,
if
right.
If it is no, this equipment or this machine move to the zone of risks.
Mm.
And what we have now in any countries, in United States, we have a practice. So the nuclear industry, instead of developing decommission program, found political decision, lifetime extension. It is political decision. It is not technical decision.
Mm-hmm.
It is economical decision, because they have no money to do decommissioning. And they decided to do lifetime extension.
And is that the same in the USSR or Russia today?
Yes, it is the same in Russia today, and it is the same in Fukushima, because Fukushima is 40 years old reactor, 40 years old, the standard norm is 30 years, so they work after standard norms 10 years more.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking to Natalie Mironova, Dr. Natalie Mironova from...
Yes.
From Russia, and she's a nuclear engineer. And
I'm not a nuclear engineer. I'm energy supply engineer.
Okay. And We have a little over 100 reactors in the United States right now that are operating.
Yeah.
How many does Russia have operating?
We have 32 reactors and 10 nuclear power stations.
And
31, I think.
And the nuclear reactors are not all power stations.
Say again.
They're not all power stations. There's some of them are for military. Is that right?
No. I am talking only about this. Is 31 reactor? Is it only commercial power station? And we have two reactors with tritium production in my region, on Chelyabinsk region, and five reactors which is standby in the cooling. This graphite reactors prototype of Chernobyl.
Ah.
And we have two reactors which is now is very recent close in Tomsk. This is also military reactors for plutonium production. And we have two reactors in Krasnoyarsk for plutonium production also. We have a number of research reactors in different nuclear military sites. We have 10 nuclear military sites with a number of research reactors. So we have a lot of hot spots.
Sure. I have no idea how many new military reactors we have. I just know about the power reactors. And we have a little
You have a lot. I know you have a lot, and you have we have the same kind of problems with military sites, Russia and United States. This is...
Yes. We've been doing the nuclear dance together.
Yeah, absolutely. Tango.
Yeah, tango. That's right.
Deadly tango.
Deadly tango. That's true.
Yeah.
And how old are the power reactors in Russia?
This is also different age of the life. The oldest we have the oldest 10 oldest reactors, Chernobyl type.
Mm-hmm.
I think that. It is since near 17th, before and after these reactors start to build and so.
Mm-hmm. So they're 40 years old also.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And they're Chernobyl-type reactors, so the graphite.
Yeah. The graphite, it is, yes, this is, of course, they have been modernized.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still very dangerous because unstable, because they have opportunity to move to unstable zone in the worst case.
Yes. Right, if there's an accident.
Yeah.
So tell me a little about your tour in the United States. Where are you going next? You're at the Vermont Law School tonight, is that right? Or this afternoon?
Yeah.
Please note that this is recorded on the 22nd of March, 2011, so this date is now passed. Thank you. And now back to the interview.
This tour, we was invited because we have a knowledge, we are storing knowledge about a number of nuclear accidents. The invitation was before Fukushima happened,
mm-hmm.
but I was planning to talk about Chelyabinsk region accident and Chernobyl accident and compare these two wide picture of relationship between government and population and technical system in this case in Chelyabinsk, in Chernobyl. But in the week before I need to leave, Fukushima happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Fukushima became a bright picture of the problem what I tried to discuss, because my friend who invited me say, Americans don't know nothing about Chernobyl. So be simply as possible, be visual as possible, because you need to explain a lot of things which we are not involved. And now when Fukushima online happened, it is from one hand, from one side, it is we're all involved in common world tragedy. We are looking at this, and from other side, it is. I think the Fukushima is a big educational campaign for people through over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was talking about how we. I will talk with law school about how we can to cope with this all this all. Side of the problem through the law regulation, yes, because we I'm a systemic thinker, so I try to find approach how we can decrease risks of existence of nuclear industry, how we can do step from nuclear to non-nuclear future.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is why I try to establish connection with a different level of thinkers and practitioner to strengthen our efforts.
Yes, it sounds like if the costs of nuclear power, the true costs of nuclear power, were known, the costs in human health and the costs. Financial costs of working with a technology that basically creates a problem for millions of years. If that cost were borne by the industry that creates it, then
and
it would end.
We exhausted as a social and economical system in the world. We exhausted by this nuclear. Activity, because what I give Tatiana the figure is the $9 trillion of dollars it is cost of nuclear project number one. Now our nuclear establishment try to start nuclear project number two. This project called nuclear renaissance.
Yes.
So, and the first cost $9 trillion, and is it comparable with 50 years budget of 145 non-nuclear site, non-nuclear state? Can you imagine these figures? If we put this $9 trillion to the social development of the nuclear site, or it will be helpful for other world. We will be have time to develop our humanity, our alternatives, again our friendship. We will be live in the other world without war, without this sacrificing. Regular people by nuclear power or by political power. We live in another with another values.
So you're saying the next $9 trillion, if it were turned towards alternatives to nuclear power, would transform the world for the better?
Yeah, absolutely.
I see. We're talking to Dr. Natalia Miranova, and she's an energy...
Only energy, not nuclear, because I was working with heat mass exchange where this turbine was.
Mm-hmm.
Nuclear power station have two parts.
Sure.
This is nuclear reactor and turbine.
I see.
From my professional, I was working with the other side where is turbine and all equipment connected with turbine. So it is like energy engineer.
I see. All right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Natalia Miranova.
Thank you for your interest and thank you for your work.
Yes, and thank you for yours and for taking the time and energy and expense to come over here and help educate us.
Mm-hmm.
And thank your colleagues, Tatiana and Natasha as well.
Yes, I will give.
And best of luck to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.